Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to have Kristen Walker Smith here today, and she's going to be sharing her story about how she dealt with OCD. And it's something that you hear as much about or people are okay with talking about, but she has been able to. And I stumbled across it. We're part of a business group together, and she does, of course, her amazing stuff on Instagram with Come Follow Me Study in 1 minute. She is so great to share and to help other women understand that it's okay and normal, whether you're going through it yourself or you live with someone that has that, and I know I do. So welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you, Laura. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you. Tell everyone about you first, just what you do and a little bit about you.
So my name is Kristen, and I, for the past 3 years or so, have been doing Come Follow Me, and I have a podcast called 1 Minute Scripture Study. And I created that because I felt like there were so many great resources for studying the scriptures, but that most of them were pretty long, and that there are moms and teens and lots of people who need something pretty quick. And so I started a podcast, and now it's turned into a couple of books. And so I just love to dive into the scriptures and prove that you can have fabulous scripture study, even if you have like 1 minute a day to do your study in.
Yes, I love that you're making it just as minimal as possible to then count it as you have done it.
Right.
And it's really, I've heard of it before as floors and ceilings. Like your floor is 1 minute. Like there's no excuse not to do it if that's the case. And of course, you hope for people to even get more into it, to be enthralled in it and love it, but to be able to teach them about the scriptures. And I love how educated you are on it. And I watch your stuff every week and I go and read your quick blog post every week on things. And it's just so cool that you know these tidbits of knowledge that are for the week itself of what we're learning in Come Follow Me, which right now is New Testament. And I'm sure it's been really fun for you to then know, okay, my next year will be this whole, what is it, next year?
Book
Book of
of
Mormon. And
Mormon.
then next year will be Doctrine and Covenants. So you probably just love it. And it's what got you into loving scriptures so much? What has been that passion? Where's
I
that coming from?
hated the scriptures growing up, and I thought that reading them was so boring, and just like I had to do it because, God wanted me to do it. And so I did it. And then I was attending a religion class in college, and I, for the first time, realized that the scriptures could possibly be interesting. I was like, wait, like there's a storyline behind this, and these are real people. And so I began enjoying my scripture study, and then I got called to be an early morning seminary teacher. And it kind of just exploded from there. I decided, well, maybe I'll try teaching EFY. And so I started teaching EFY, and then I started teaching at BYU Education Week. And the more I got into the scriptures and teaching them, the more fun I had with them. And so, like, I'm not really formally educated in this. I'm a nerd and I love studying stuff about the scriptures. So, yeah.
Cool. It's cool that you over time you geeked out. It wasn't always that way. And that's that you fell in love with it, and it's been that process of you learning. So you're kind of really helping other people have that same process to then
I'm
really
trying,
learn.
yeah.
Yeah, you are. I know you are. A lot of
Well,
people
thank
really
you.
love what you do. So we're excited to hear more about who the woman is behind that, and especially just knowing what that story is. And of course, we are actually recording this a second time because I lost it the first time. Just to be so clear and show that I am not perfect by all means, but I really want to have her get this out there. So I really appreciate you doing this a second time.
Of
Oh my
course,
gosh,
of course.
I had to redo my whole computer and I thought I'd save that and I didn't. So
Oh,
let's hear
technology.
more though about you. And it's not going to be sad or mopey in any way, but it is a cool story that it comes out that you are you realizing yourself and knowing what you need to do to help and be more gracious with yourself, and your Heavenly Father sees that you're really trying. So tell me where OCD started for you and what that looks like for you, looked like for you then, and now what it looks like for you now and how it started.
Awesome. So, this feels a little like an AA meeting. I've never been to one, but like, hi, my name is Kristen. I have OCD. But I did not have any issues with mental illness growing up. But when I became pregnant with my first child, I began to feel very, very anxious. And I thought it was normal. I thought, like, this is what a good mom does, right? She like looks at every single label and she makes sure that what she eats is exactly what the baby needs. And like every single little decision, anything that went in my mouth, anything I bought for the baby, like caused me intense anxiety. But I thought that was what good moms do. I didn't realize that that was atypical. And so I basically shut down as a pregnant woman and as a brand new mother. Like, I ended all hobbies. I didn't go outside if I didn't have to. If I did go outside, I would change my clothes as soon as I got inside, wash my hands. And it began to take over my life, but I still didn't know what it was. I just thought this is what motherhood looked like, which hallelujah for all you moms that it has not looked like that for them, because like there would be no more children in the world, because it was awful. It was so bad. Like, why am I laughing? Like, I'm like, it was awful. It's hilarious. But I mean, it is so bad looking back. And I feel so bad for myself because, so when I had my second child, my mom came to visit and I was living on the East Coast. My family was on the West Coast. And so I had been kind of alone. And my mom came when my second was born, and she was like helping me out. And I'm just standing at the sink washing my hands. And I clocked myself because this is later on when I figured out what was going on, but I clocked myself to see how long I would wash my hands. And it was an average of 2.5 minutes per wash. And that's if nothing went wrong. Like, if when I finished, I accidentally touched something that was dirty, I would have to go back and rewash. So my mom's watching me wash my hands. She's like, so Kristen, she's like trying to be so nice. Aww. She's a great mom. She doesn't butt in. She's like, did you know that washing your hands a lot can be a sign of obsessive compulsive disorder? And I was like, what, mom? You're so crazy. What are you talking about? But then the more I thought about it, like after she left, I was like, well, maybe. And so I ordered this book on Amazon, and it ended up being a great book. It was all about like diagnosing OCD and like how to get over it. But I think Heavenly Father must have laughed at me. I think it must have been funny. Like, the angels were, you know, giggling behind their hands. But as I'm reading this book, the book to me is dirty because it just came out of the mail. And so as I'm reading this OCD book, trying to figure out if I have OCD, I'm turning the pages with a pencil so I don't have to touch it. And I'm just like, girl.
This is it. It's already, before you even open the book, you know. It is comical in that way.
If you can't touch the book, you got the disease. So I figured it out about 3 years into the disease. And, you know, attempted to get some help, but wasn't very serious about it until later on. And I finally found a fabulous therapist. At this point, though, I feel like I've been talking a lot. Do you have any questions or a direction you want me to go?
I think it's so great and very healthy coping to be laughing about it and see that there is some absurdity to it.
Oh, yeah.
Not to diminish that, going through this is really a real thing for people. Yes. And it affects their lives, and it really affects relationships, but it still is so good that you're just laughing about it, because it really is. Sometimes I do too. I live with someone with OCD, and then people will tell me that he'll take away the can of soda just 1 minute after and go put it away and like throw it away. And so people would say, does he do that at home? I'm like, yep. It's just a fun thing. We all just know that's how it goes.
Yes.
That has to be cleaned off very quickly. And so so you saw it come when you were new mom, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of that trigger point. And I think last time I interviewed you, is you talked about how it was like, there's kind of this catalyst that happens and people may not have it. And then there's kind of this trigger that this event. So tell me more about that and maybe what people might clue into too.
So one of the things that I read about as I studied more about OCD, once I figured out I had it, is that OCD is like a tinderbox and it just lies there dormant in you until lightning strikes it. And then it's like this flame, like it's a forest fire that rages inside of you. And so for me, I just had the predisposition to have OCD. And I can see that looking at my family history, like that makes sense. But it didn't act up until suddenly I had adult responsibility, like until suddenly, like it really mattered what I did, you know, because if I made a mistake, it might affect the baby and that stuff. So responsibility was my trigger. And then it did explode into this forest fire. And that was the worst part. Like that's where like, I couldn't laugh about it was when it was at forest fire, that kind of inferno, like it felt like it was destroying my life. Now I'm at the point where it's like, it's a little flame. It's a bit annoying. You know, it messes things up sometimes, but I can just look back and be like, oh my gosh, that was the worst time of my life when it was that bad.
No doubt. Like, so it really, that pressure was really the thing that triggered it for you. And I think it comes down to control. Of course, OCD, we know to be, you're just trying to feel like there's a false sense of control. Mm-hmm. And maybe because you, in a sense, fell out of control, it's a new responsibility. And if you ever did need to have that responsibility, if you had that responsibility over a person, you'd want to make sure it wasn't your fault. Like you wanted to make things right.
Right.
And so tell me, it's how you worked on it through having kids. How has that looked as you've had kids, but they are messy and they don't do things your way? Like, how is it?
Yeah. And so my OCD really is germ focused. Like I feel very blessed. It's been pretty singular. Like it has not branched into perfectionism or anything like that. So the germs when I had multiple kids was very hard, because I might've told you this last time, but baby reigned supreme. Like the smallest and weakest of the family was the one that I had to protect at all costs. And so I am so grateful. My kids now have wonderful bonds, but I came in between that when they were little. Like I could not let my 2-year-old touch my baby, because the 2-year-old might have germs he would get on the baby. And I could not sit in a chair with both my toddler and my baby at the same time, because cross-contamination, right? And so I handled it poorly. I mean, there's no getting around it. Like I just kept my kids home. I think my son went on a swing for the first time at like his 3rd birthday. He'd never been on a swing. And my friends were like, what are you talking about? Like, why has your child not been on a swing? And I'm like, they're probably covered in poo, you know, like that's my thinking. And I never put my kids in a grocery shopping cart, and I never took them to normal places, and we didn't do play dates because I was so scared. And so I really did let the OCD run my life for about 5 years, and it ruined it. Like I went to bed crying every night. I hated my life. I woke up sad to be alive. Like I just wanted God to decide that it was my time to go so I could just be done, because it hurt so much to be alive. Like I can still remember crying to my husband. I remember we were in the bathroom of our house and I was just crying to him. I wasn't hugging him, because then I would have had to change my clothes and wash my hands. I wasn't hugging him, but I just cried. And I was like, I just want a break from my own head. I just want a minute to rest, because even sleeping was taken over by it. Every dream was about OCD and like my fears. And so it was nightmares every single night. Like there was no escape. And so people ask, they're like, how'd you get over OCD? And I was like, I stopped having kids. I mean, it sounds terrible, but I had dreamed of having a bigger family, but it came to the point where I couldn't take care of the kids I had if I kept having more children. And so we are a family of 5 total, 3 kids, because I would probably not be here if we had more.
Right. That's okay. In realizing for yourself, and I think it's a relationship with God, I think we have our own personalities, and with the personalities comes the hard parts and the good parts. And I think you've probably had that conversation with him of like, I would like to, but I know I can't. I should identify in that way of it would be really hard probably for me to have more children too, because of my depression and postpartum depression that comes to me a little bit more severely. But things may change. And I've always even thought in my mind, would I have more? But that would be like having kids way down the road kind of thing.
Yes.
But God really can change things. But in the sense now he's changed you to do these amazing things too. You know that maybe that's not in the cards for you, and that's okay. Yeah. You're accepting of that. And anyone listening to it, it's really good to hear the real, that it really was hard on you, and that it got to the point of anxiety at night and nightmares, and even not having that connection to hold and love your loved ones could really hurt. You almost feel like something's broken with you. I felt that way too. Like, why can't I just be happy and actually want to go and be with people when I just want to sit in bed and be depressed? And that's where mine was. But
well, my goal, my whole goal with my OCD was I just wanted to get to a point where I could pretend to be okay for my kids. Like I figured I would never be actually okay. So I'm like, I just need to get to where my kids aren't suffering because of me. And it didn't work that way. So yeah, it's a rough place to be.
Sounds like you're so good at taking care of them. You have this strong desire to take care of them. Like you said, the smallest needs that protection. And even now you're saying, I just want them to be good. Like, such a good heart in it all. And that's actually those that have OCD, from what I've studied, and especially living with someone with that, they're very smart, very smart people. Because think about all the thought processes you were doing within one split second.
Yeah.
Oh, this person can't touch this person, cross contamination.
Oh, yeah.
Go to this event. We can't be sick. And we're gonna move.
Right.
And so totally, you're so smart. And then look what you're doing with your smarts. Like, you're diving into scriptures. Like, you're expanding your abilities. And I mean, I have my abilities. I feel like I kind of tend to have some ADHD, so I get forgetful and it's hard to really, and I think, what's wrong with me? But then it really ends up having the great side effects of, I mean, everything comes with its good also.
Yes.
These things.
Well, no, and that was one of the big turning points for me. I said, like, I stopped having kids and, you know, that's why I don't have OCD, but I was actually getting better. I was at the point where I was really good and I had to make the decision, do I start all over again, right? Like, do I start back into this? But one of the ways I got to a place where I was good was recognizing the blessings, like getting to the point where I didn't hate my OCD anymore. Like, I realized that it was bringing huge blessings. And you talked about, like, I don't know that it makes me smart, but I was so bored, because I didn't really have friends. And so I would just study my scriptures all the time. And that's what I would do with my free time. And so, you know, people might be intimidated by doing a scripture study podcast and having to come up with all these ideas of, like, what comments could I make on this verse? I have scriptures packed with notes already because they were my friends for the 5 years I didn't have any friends. And so that was a real turning point for me where I finally was like, okay, God, if this is what you need me to do to have this blessing of I'm super close because I pray all the time. And so you and I are super close and I'm reading the scriptures. And so I feel like I'm hearing, you know, God's word all the time. And like, if that's what's required of me to get to God, then okay, I'll do it. And I think once you, I don't want to tell anyone to just accept your mental illness and move on. But I think there does need to be a point of where it's like, okay, I can handle this. This isn't going to destroy my life. It might actually bless my life. Now, how do I move forward from there? Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, no, okay. No doubt. It's because that if you're always having that war within your body and if you're within yourself and mentally just thinking like, I am wrong, something's wrong. Okay. It's here. I have like we would fight about it with my son also having his ADHD, and it's just like, it's here. We got to just embrace it. And he is so engineering and creative, and he's making like comic books right now because he can do that. And actually the writer of Dog Man and Captain Underpants is also ADHD, and my son is just loving his stuff, and he tries to copy down on how he has his style, and he's trying to do his own thing, and he calls it Supa Undie is his comic book. And so it's so cute that he's embracing his creativity, but then he can let his mind wander. He's not the hyperactive, he's just the ADD. And I see it time and time again with people in my life that have the mental illness, and then it can be a strength if we embrace that side. There's obviously, like it says in the scripture, that the works may be manifest in God. What happened? Was it you're the scripture person. Is it the person that was born blind or deaf? I can't remember. Okay. Born blind. So I guess the apostles were asking like who sinned in this scenario? Was it his parents?
Right.
It must be bad and wrong, but it's not, it's just that the works of God will be manifest. And that alone is enough and wonderful for our whole population.
And I think that's so important too. As I think we're really good at looking back on trials and being like, oh, that was a good lesson, God. You did a good one with that, right? Like, I learned so much. But can we do that in the middle of it, right? Can we be grateful for our trial in the middle of it? Like, don't find gratitude in spite of your trial, find gratitude for it. And that can be super hard. Like, I'm not saying this just like, oh, have faith and pray and life will be better. No, like,
right, no.
Get the therapy, get the medication if that's what you need. That's what I've done. But also, there is power in finding out in the middle of the trial, like, what is God teaching me? Who am I becoming because of this? And that helped me feel empowered. It helped me feel like, okay, I'm okay with this. If this is what I have to go through, I think waiting to be grateful is, that's a waste. I think that we can learn so much by being grateful in the trial.
Right. And gratitude, I 100% agree, is that healing balm for it. And that was probably the one thing that helped you move forward just a little bit. Sometimes it's just in the fog, one step in the fog. But if God obviously put into your heart with the Spirit, that just find some gratitude in this.
Yeah.
Even for me, I had to find gratitude too. And I've talked about it before when I was in my rehab for a month for my suicide ideation and needed to have a safe place to heal and be safe. That was my story too. I was, I got COVID while I was there. So I went there the fall of 2020. And then towards the end of my stay, I got COVID from my therapist. I'm not mad or anything at him. It's just what it is. It was starting to go around, but around that time, it was like scary if you got it, but it wasn't at the very beginnings of getting it, but there was a small group of us who got it. And so they would quarantine me into my room, and rehab is already quarantined, but then to quarantine. And then I'm already a depressed, sad person. I was so low, and they didn't want me to leave because they didn't feel like I was better. And if I would have left, I could choose and leave whenever I want, really, honestly.
Right.
Not making me stay there. At least I was to the point where I wasn't suicidal. It was just to the point where without insurance covering it. So I felt like so tied. Like, if I leave, I'm gonna have to pay for this whole stay, like 30 grand maybe. I don't know.
Oh gosh.
But so I was in my closet, and I had nothing to do all day. I'm just quarantined in a room. They bring me my food with masks on and gloves, and then they leave and they ask me how I am. So I just went to the closet in there, and I just prayed, and I just thought, God, I don't know what to do. It was my Gethsemane. It was really the lowest of lows I've ever been. And gratitude just overcame me. And God just in his own ways told me, look at this beautiful life you actually have had. And it kind of came over to me like a movie. And I thought about when I was in Mexico, when I was 5 years old with my grandparents on a getaway, and I saw sea urchins for the first time. And I thought about my first kiss. I thought about when I held my baby. I thought about when I hiked this cool hike and was in the mountains and it was beautiful. And when I got married and all those beautiful things that come into your life, that it was just like gratitude, and it healed me. I felt so much better afterwards. And of course I was able to leave, and one therapist did realize that this isn't a good idea. Let's have her go home. And I was up and up from there, and it's all gratitude. And it really is part of this mental illness. Anyone with mental illness that's listening, it's part of that. So what would you suggest to someone that is listening that maybe to be dealing with OCD, or as I was going to say before you move on, there's something called OCPD. Sometimes people feel like, I feel like I'm OCD, but I'm not doing the hand washing all the time. Because sometimes people that do that, like you know that you're, it's kind of silly. You know that it's silly. Someone that has OCPD, obsessive compulsive personality disorder, it's a personality where it's perfectionistic, like you said. And there's a whole list of things. If you're miserly with your money, which means like you want to hoard it all and want to give it away. If you have a really strong moral ground and you feel like you need to just have everyone have that same moral ground, keeping well with time all the time, and it affects relationships. And that's more of what I deal with my life, with the person I live with. And it's really hard on relationships. But so now that you know that there's that difference, either way, their mental illness, what would you say for someone having to deal with that as our last thing before we close here?
Oh, goodness. That's a lot. I guess first and most important is don't be scared to find out you have it. It can be scary to put a label on something like that and to find out that OCD applies to you. Like the only thing I knew about OCD before I realized I had it was that old movie, What About Bob, where Bob, oh my gosh, I was like, I am not like Bob. Like Bob is cuckoo cuckoo, right? And so when I had the same label as Bob, I was so upset. But the label doesn't define you, right? It just lets you know what help you need to get. So don't be afraid of a label. You're not Bob. Unless your name is Bob. Sorry.
It's not an identity. I know what you're saying. And it just gives you some tools to know how to move forward. Yes. That's so true. Just defining it, knowing what it is.
Yes. That can be scary. And then obviously there's like the typical, like, get help. I did not get help. Most people with OCD do not get help for at least 7 years. And that gives the OCD so much time to take over your brain and your thoughts. Like the faster you can get in, yesterday would have been the best day to get in, right? So like, yes, go get help. Therapy is not something to be ashamed of. I love therapy. I still go to it, even though my OCD is under control. I'm just like, I'm sure there's something wrong with me. Like, let's find out what and take care of it. Like therapy is wonderful. So go do that. But the last thing that I think was one of the biggest, it made the biggest difference in my life, and this was even in the midst of struggling with it, was that I decided not to be ashamed of it. And I lost so many friends and so many connections and made so many awkward lies because I was trying to hide my OCD from people because I thought people wouldn't like me. But as soon as I just started talking about it, I was like, oh yeah, my OCD is really bad, so I'm probably not going to come to that picnic. People understood. Like, and if someone doesn't understand, they're not your person. Don't worry about them. Like, you don't need them in your life anyway. Mm-hmm. So I just think that the more willing you are to be honest, to not try and hide your OCD from other people, the more it allows you to be your authentic self, and it takes a weight away from you. And so if you are feeling ashamed and embarrassed, I would say embrace it. This is part of who you are, and the people who really matter are going to love you no matter what.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. The ones that don't, they'll dwindle away, and that's okay. Yep. And it really just takes any weirdness, taboo out of it. A lot of people are a lot more open to it. So it's definitely, definitely great advice, and to get medication and to go to therapy. So thank you for all that. But it's been such a pleasure to talk with you. I really love that you're talking about this and helping them. So tell everyone where they can find you if they want to learn more.
Oh, I am on Instagram at Kristen, that's KRISTEN Walker Smith. And if you're interested in my book's on Amazon. It's called 1 Minute Scripture Study in the New Testament. And I've also got a podcast called 1 Minute Scripture Study.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And everyone go look for her stuff. She has a great, and even following her blog every week, I love doing that. And it's so great to have resources to help us to know how to do scripture study quickly. And now we get to know a little bit about who you are behind it all, that you have gone through that fire before. The gospel is, you could tell you love the gospel because it's changed you forever in your heart because of these trials you've gone through. So thank you.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. You have a great rest of your day.